Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 110, with Sarah Kornack and Beth Ann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Erica Richards of RaineysCloset.com. Erica has such a unique business. Rainey's Closet is a site where you can rent boutique children's clothing for your special occasion or for your photo shoot. So instead of spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a beautiful designer outfit for your child to wear for just a couple of hours when you're getting a family picture taken, you can rent these beautiful clothes from Rainey's Closet for just a few days so that you can get that perfect family picture. We loved talking with Erica about her very unique business and how it got started and how it's going. I think you'll enjoy this episode too. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are pleased to welcome Erica Richards of Rainey's Closet. Rainey's Closet is an online children's clothing rental company that specializes in boutique fashions. You can rent high-end clothing for your special day without spending a fortune. Erica lives in Pensacola, Florida with her husband and, of course, her little girl, Rainey. Welcome to the show, Erica.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be on today.
Erica, could you begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and how you came up with this awesome idea?
Well, I've always been in marketing and public relations for my career before children, and I stopped working and decided to stay home with my daughter when she was born. That was kind of a deal my husband and I had that we wouldn't have kids unless one of us could stay home, you know, at least through the young years. And so when she was turning three, I had been approached by, you know, different people to kind of go back to work part-time, and just nothing quite seemed like I would want to take time away from my daughter or my family life to do that. But as she got older, I just kind of started looking around and thinking about possible things to do that might be interesting and kind of a creative outlet. And so this idea kind of came completely organically last year when we were preparing for our annual family photos, which has always been a struggle for our family because my daughter does not like having her picture taken, ever. She never has. Mm-hmm. And so it was always a lot of pressure of getting, you know, it was our one time of year to get good photos of all three of us. And I was, you know, looking online at different brands of clothing I liked for her and trying to find my own clothes and going through the whole, you know, I was on Pinterest like a lot of moms are these days, looking for ideas and inspiration, and, you know, kind of came up with a vision and a look I wanted. And then finding all those pieces was a lot harder than I could ever imagine. And so I understand this is a first world problem also. Like, there's much bigger problems in the world to worry about, but I really wanted some nice photos of our family since we have very few of them. And I ordered my daughter's dress, and then my skirt came in and didn't fit. And, you know, it was kind of, I couldn't get my husband's shirt in time. And then I tried to get a halo that matched my daughter's dress, and all the Etsy shops I looked at were either really expensive or it would take 3 weeks to get the halo. And so there's all these pieces. And I honestly remember sitting at my computer late at night thinking, like, I have spent so much time trying to prepare for one family photo session. And, like, instead of, you know, doing other things that would be more valuable with my time. And so I said, I was familiar with Rent the Runway at the time, which I had used before to, like, rent a special occasion dress for myself for an event. I thought, I really wish there was some place like this for kids where you could just get everything in one place and not have to go through different boutiques online or stores, you know, in your hometown or Etsy shops and, you know, all these different places. And so I decided at the time, I thought, I don't know if anyone's doing that. And so I looked into it and nobody really was. And I just kind of, my husband and I discussed it and we just decided to give it a go. I kind of thought it was going to be more of a part-time kind of like side business at first. And it really just became more than full-time very quickly. But that's kind of how this whole thing started, was through my own frustration and that experience of just kind of wasting a lot of time and money just preparing for one photo session.
I love that you essentially just took a problem that you were having and you solved it. And, you know, clearly with the growth of your business, other moms are having the same problems. That's interesting too, that you're saying it's grown to more than full time. So it's kind of like a good problem to have. You know what I mean?
That definitely. It's
growing. Yeah. So I'm curious, when you took that step and you said, okay, I'm ready, let's do this, what were some of those first steps you took to kind of build up your inventory, get your website up? How did all of that go in the beginning?
Well, I immediately started buying. It was actually this month a year ago, and it's kind of a good time to buy because a lot of the boutiques and the really hard to find brands, there's a lot of sales this time of year because everybody's kind of like trying to get some money in before Christmas and, you know, that type of thing. It wasn't really a lot of people will take their photos and then sell their hard to find dresses, or boutiques are having sales this time of year. So I immediately started buying and, you know, started a Facebook page and bought my web domain and that type of thing. But it really wasn't until February that my website launched. I started working on it in November, but like most things, you know, internet related, they just take a lot longer than, I should say IT related, they just take a lot longer than you expect. And I was really blown away by the amount of work entering inventory is. It makes me really appreciate a national retailer that has thousands and thousands of products on their website, because the maintenance that is required is unbelievable for just managing a small inventory like my own.
And your website looks extremely professional and easy to navigate. The garments are, it's easy to see what you have. You have it organized by size. What platform did you use, or what other plugins have you used to make your shop look so good and so easy to use?
Well, thank you. That was an interesting step. I had a web developer who I got a couple of quotes locally about building a website from scratch that was entirely custom, and it was extremely expensive. So my web developer found a program that we could customize to fit. You know, it was a rental program, but it didn't fit all of my needs as is. And so we customized it, and, you know, it's kind of been a work in progress. But the interface was there, and, you know, we changed the colors and the template a little bit and that type of thing. That part was kind of relatively easy. It was a matter of, and we did go through some bug issues in the beginning of, we had a couple of issues where we had overbookings, and that was really disappointing. But I think we've got it now to where we've tweaked it enough, and we'll continue to tweak it to kind of suit our needs long term. But, you know, it took me weeks and weeks of late night after late night entering inventory, you know, getting everything photographed that I didn't have stock photos for and that type of thing. That was probably the really labor intensive part. But the interface and the way it looks was kind of built in. And I have a great web developer who has a great eye and shares a lot of the same taste that I do.
That's great. And I know you partner with several other Etsy sellers and, like you said, two other mompreneurs. I'm curious about how that's worked. Like, do you always buy all your inventory up front with your own money, or do you have some sort of special agreement with the Etsy sellers? How does that process work?
Yeah, I don't have special agreements. I basically just buy like you would be buying from them. I, you know, find vendors that I like their products and just place kind of large orders. There are a few that do give you a discount on certain amount, but most of the time, you know, as you know, you guys had an Etsy shop before, these are all just handmade goods of, you know, somebody making them. And so there really isn't any less time involved for them if you order more. So like, for example, a few of the Halo and Flower Crown vendors I have, you know, I just, if I order 12 or 15 from them, like it, I have to order a month or so in advance so that they have time to make them all. because they, you know, things like that take a lot of time because they're handmade. So there's really no agreement or relationship with them other than I'm a buyer and they're a seller. And I kind of watch other photographers' websites and, you know, social media pages to see what is trending and what's popular and what styles are popular. And then I, you know, find vendors based on that and just buy. But yeah, I basically put up all the money up front for all of my inventory, whether it's from a wholesaler like Tutu Dumont that, you know, offers wholesale pricing, or usually the small, you know, handmade goods are not, there's no kind of price break in that.
Mm. And how much money do you think you initially had to put into your business to get it going?
I mean, we started with an initial investment, but, you know, I grossly underestimated how much inventory I would need to really offer a lot of choices for people, because with turnover times and, you know, shipping back and forth and the rental periods, things can get booked up very quickly. So we've invested tens of thousands of dollars in the last year, just mainly on inventory. And then of course there's, you know, the web development and things like that, but those are some of the smaller expenses. And I'd still like to continue to grow the inventory. It's just kind of staying at a pace where we can fund it and, you know, still be comfortable with the amount coming back in. So yeah, it was a lot more than I anticipated, but once we realized like this actually would work and there was enough demand for it and there were enough orders coming in this spring, then I felt a lot more comfortable investing more money. And a lot of it's in inventory, so it's money that could be recovered if something were to happen, because, you know, I could sell the inventory and that type of thing, but I don't think that's going to happen at this point. So I feel really comfortable with the direction that I'm going.
I can see how this is the type of business where you have to really do it well from the beginning if you hope to succeed. Not that every business owner doesn't want to do it well from the beginning, but for instance, if you only had 3 dresses to pick from, then that's not going to meet enough needs of your customers. So I can see how this particular business, you really do have to start off with a large selection, or else it's just not going to be attractive to potential customers. So
right. Yeah, you don't want that, customers coming to your website and that are interested and want to rent something and then cannot find something that is either in their size or available for their date. And, you know, I could see myself getting frustrated, like, oh, I really wanted to rent something, but I can't even find anything to rent. So I definitely don't want that happening.
Right. So that huge investment of inventory was really important from the beginning.
Yes.
And you've mentioned briefly, like, the process, the rental process, but could you explain how it works a little bit more for our listeners who haven't looked at your website yet? Your website clearly outlines how the rental process works, but for a listener who's maybe in their car, could you explain that process to them?
Sure. It's pretty simple. You visit the website and you can, as you mentioned before, browse by category or size and that type of thing. And you choose your size and then it'll give you the dates that that particular size and item is available. And you can choose to rent for either 4 or 8 days. And you get, if you rent for 8 days, you get, you know, kind of a price break on that second 4 days. You only pay shipping. It's a $6 flat rate shipping, regardless of how much you order, and returns are free. But you choose, for example, if you have an event or a photo shoot on October 10th, you would choose October 8th to get your delivery. So you have a day to, after it arrives, to try it on, you know, match up accessories or shoes or whatever else you might need. And then you use it the 3rd day, and then you return the items on the 4th day, if that's a 4-day rental. Or if you're, you know, going on vacation, or you have 2 events in 1 week, you can extend it. You can choose the 8-day. And then we have a prepaid return label that comes in your package, and you just slap on the prepaid return label and put everything back in the poly mailer bag and send it back. And I know there's a lot of questions I get about my terms and conditions on the website, because basically, when you rent, you're agreeing to the terms and conditions that if you don't return something or you just, if it's damaged beyond repair, you can be charged up to 200% of the market or retail value of the item. And I get emails the way it's worded, like, am I going to be charged that up front and then get a refund later? No, that's not the way we do it. We only charge you. We can go back and charge your payment method if, you know, something's not returned or there's a situation like that. But that's pretty much it. You're just charged the rental fee and the $6 flat rate shipping. And so, you know, sometimes I get questions too about, can my daughter wear this on the beach? Like, am I going to be charged if she gets sand on the skirt? And we don't charge, like, in the terms it also states that there's, you know, normal wear and tear is covered. You know, we're not going to charge you for the garment if there's sand on it or some small stains get on it or that type of thing, or a sequin or a bead falls off. Like, that to us is normal wear and tear. So that is pretty much how it works. And we have, you know, all kinds of accessories that coordinate on the website. So once you find the main outfit, you can add capes or shrugs or hats or headbands and flower crowns and that clips, hair clips. And we also have boys items that can coordinate. So, and we do have a lot of people that email us for advice on what goes together, you know, what might coordinate for sisters or brothers or that type of thing. And we're always happy to make suggestions for that as well. Sometimes it's just hard to tell on the computer screen what might look good together.
That sounds kind of fun. So you get to be like, you know, you've invented this great business. It solves a great problem. So you have that business mind, but you also get to be a stylist.
Yes, that is part that I really love. Like when we have time for photo shoots, like that's where a lot of the creativity comes in. I wish I actually had a lot more time for that kind of fun stuff. But it is neat to see how different outfits and accessories come together. And I love doing the flat lays and kind of coming up with mixing and matching different brands and that type of thing. But it is fun. Like I said, I wish I had more time to just kind of do more of that. But as you know, with small businesses, you kind of do everything. So.
Definitely. I'm curious too, is it a mix of photos that you take yourself that that you hire a photographer to take some photos for your website, but then do you also get some photos from maybe the shops that you purchase from that will let you use some photos of their items?
Yes, it is a mix. A lot of the larger vendors like Tutu Dumond or Nelly Stella, they have whole campaigns that they, you know, shoot for the release of their new collections. And so that is great because the pictures are stunning and gorgeous and it's easy to just quickly get them up on the website. But a lot of them, some of the smaller boutique brands don't really offer that when you buy their product. So I do have to photograph them myself or have somebody photograph them. And then that just takes kind of a little bit longer because the turnover time from when you receive something, photograph it, edit the photos, and then put them on the website is a much longer process. But it is a mix. And a lot of my customers like to see the items on real. I mean, not that the stock photos aren't real children, but it's obviously a staged and styled photo shoot. But they like to see the fit on just like a regular model in a studio also, to kind of see how different things fit and the true colors of items and that type of thing.
I was curious about pricing. So do you have kind of a formula for how you decide what the rental price will be compared to what you paid for it? Or is it just kind of a guess on what you think people are willing to pay?
There is a general formula that I have because, you know, in the end, business is about being profitable. And so, you know, a lot of these items that I carry are handmade. They're very delicate. You know, over time, there's going to be wear and tear and damage to these, you know, a lot of the intricate beading or things like that. And so there is a formula where after so many rentals, you know, I need to have made the investment back. And that's for kind of the main dresses and outfits. When it comes to hair accessories and capes and shrugs and that type of a thing, even though a lot of them can be very, almost even as expensive as a dress sometimes in the cape and shrugs, you really, there is an intuition and a gut feeling of, like, how much would I be willing to pay for that extra cape or shrug after I've already rented a dress? Like, what would be a comfortable add-on price for me? And so I don't follow the formula necessarily for the accessories because I don't feel like I would be willing to pay as much for a cape as I would for a dress. So there's kind of a basic formula, but there is a lot of like intuition about with my own judgment, I guess.
So it seems like from looking at your website, it's almost like as a consumer, I feel like I would get an amazing, gorgeous outfit for, let's say, my little girl, and it would probably cost me like 25% or to 33% of what I'd pay if I was going to buy it outright.
That's about right. And if you, you know, for example, a Tutu Dumont dress could be anywhere from $160 to $230. And then if you add a cape, that's $100 retail. And then a flower halo that costs $45 to $50 retail. Really, you can rent all of that for about $60. So sometimes it's even less than a quarter or a third of what you would pay.
That's
so, yeah, but generally if you're renting just a dress, it's probably a quarter of what you'd pay retail.
Yeah, that seems like, it seems like a really good model. So it's, I guess for you, it's a matter of, okay, if I could rent this out four times, then anything after that becomes profit as long as the items stay intact. But yeah, as a mom, I'm looking at this going, yes, sign me up. You know, if I was ready to do a photo shoot with my family and I had a certain look in mind, but it felt like it, you know, because it does just sometimes feel wasteful to buy a really fancy dress that isn't going to get used again.
Right. Yeah. My dress that I bought for my daughter for last year's photo shoot is still sitting in her closet, never have to been put on again, you know, and it doesn't even fit her now probably. But yeah, it does. It is kind of wasteful. And when you're already spending a lot of money to get photos done to have to, and I only have one child. If I had two or three or four, that would be, you know, a lot more money to spend coordinating outfits. So, and I know a lot of photographers, I get a lot of referrals from people that their photographer has referred them because photographers also like to, you know, shoot nicer clothing. You know, it just comes out a lot nicer in the photos when you have kind of these more upscale brands and everybody's coordinated and that type of thing too.
Okay, so that's really interesting. And I was going to ask this next. How do you get most of your business? So it sounds like one great way is from photographer referrals, which is so neat. But what are like some other ways you get your customers?
Well, I would say my business is probably about 50-50 of photographers are the customers. You know, they rent for mini sessions they might be having where they provide the wardrobe for their clients or they rent the items as a package for their clients. So the 50% probably comes directly from the photographers. And then the other half is from, you know, moms renting for their kids. And I think other than the photographers referring them, I'm the only way that I have of people finding out my business is just through Facebook and Instagram posting. I think a lot of people, this business is brand driven for them. You know, they might search for Tutu Dumont or Nelly Stella or something online and might discover my site when they're searching for a particular brand, or they might be in a, you know, Facebook group that happens to have that brand or something like that. Some of these brands sell out pretty quickly on certain styles. And so people will often go searching for last year's style or styles from a couple years ago that they just really want to have. And sometimes they'll discover my website through that because I have some styles that are hard to find now because they're no longer sold. I would say that's probably, I haven't really done any other advertising other than just through social media.
So it's key for you to be carrying really highly sought after brands and pieces of clothing.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't even know, though, like if I was going to start something like this, obviously I'm not, but I wouldn't even know what those highly sought after brands are. Did you just discover that yourself when you were looking on Pinterest for the outfit you wanted to purchase for your own daughter? Or how do you know what people are looking for in brands?
Well, that is an interesting question, because now that you know about some of this stuff, you might start seeing it everywhere on Facebook. When I started following just one or two brands for my daughter when she was born, or I guess I should say more like when she was about two, I wasn't really on Facebook prior to that. I started following one or two brands, and before I know it, I'd see people's comments about, have you seen this brand? And so then I'd follow that page and join that group. And then, you know, just it would kind of snowball from there. All of a sudden, a lot of these small, like, handmade brands were popping up on Facebook. And then people would start these private buy-sell trade groups for these particular brands. And I just started to see a growing demand for this particular company called Well-Dressed Wolf. It started with these two sisters making these very well-made, quality, handmade clothes, like kind of vintagey inspired. And before you know it, you know, they've only made 80 pieces of one particular style, and now everybody wants that style, and these dresses are going for $400, $500, $600 because you just cannot find them anymore. So it just kind of was through that Facebook group process of, you know, just other moms commenting on, have you seen this brand, and, you know, that type of thing. And it just was a very natural process where it's almost overwhelming now. There are so many on Facebook that have come up in the last couple of years. But yeah, I discovered 222 Moms through Pinterest. And, you know, now I'm in a lot of groups on Facebook for that brand, and just mainly social media and seeing other photographers' photos and thinking, oh, that outfit looks so great and so cute on that little girl. I wonder where she got that dress. And then come to find out it's one of the brands that I was looking at. So,
I mean, really, when you think about it, it's some of that great advice we always hear about growing a business, which is, you know, kind of immerse yourself in your target audience, like get to know them, be part of their community, like look at what they're looking at. And it seems like you've totally done that. And so now you've become an expert in this little world of, you know, children's photography styling. So that's really neat.
That's true. Yes. There's a big closet mom world that they call it. I don't know if you've heard that term before, but it is like my target customer is, you know, these moms that have young kids and they are very interested in dressing them in, you know, these boutique high-end brands. And they spend a lot of time and a lot of money following up on this type of thing.
So I'm curious, in terms of these Facebook groups that you found that are, you know, maybe around a certain brand and they're all looking for that Tutu Mon dresses or whatever the case is, do you, when you join these groups, will you comment and let them know and say, hey, I have this dress, it's on my site as a rental? Are you able to do that to get more business?
Not really, no. It was, that kind of was my initial plan when I started this business. I thought to myself, basically, all I'm going to have to do is make one announcement in these groups that have 13,000 people or 8,000 people or whatever it might be, and just say, look, I started this business. I have a lot of these styles for rent if anybody needs them. And it was a huge letdown when I found out I could not do that. The rules of a lot of these groups are there's no business advertising. It's kind of interesting because a lot of photographers will sort of passively advertise there, you know, by posting photos of a particular person in a particular dress for that brand. And they'll say, oh, just wanted to share this great photo. You know, they're sort of advertising their business with their logo on the photo and that type of thing. But I inquired about it, and you just flat out cannot mention a business name. You cannot post a website URL or anything like that. And so it was kind of devastating at first. I thought, something that I had sort of counted on when I started my business to get the word out, I wasn't able to do. I have started my own private Facebook group since then, and I think we have almost 1,000 members now. And it will slowly grow, but we use that private Facebook group to sell some of our, you know, dresses that get slightly damaged or maybe some things that don't get a lot of rental interest. So we sell them through there at a discount. And so we've slowly built up our membership, and other people can buy and sell through that group as well. But yeah, that was a big, like I should say, setback for me when I first started learning about all of that and found out I wasn't able to post anything about my business.
Have you discovered that, I know you initially set out intending this to be for people who were planning a photo shoot, but have you found that people use your dresses and rent from you for reasons that you never anticipated when you first started?
I don't think so. Really, you know, when I started, I knew most of the market would be for photos, but I also tried to, focus on the flower girl market this spring. And I was sort of just getting started then, so I think I missed that boat a little bit. But, you know, I have, you know, anticipated people using these for some sort of special events. Like maybe if you're not the flower girl in a wedding, you might just be attending the wedding, or for your birthday party or your 3-year birthday photos, or, you know, different occasions other than just family photos. But I think I've had some people rent for like maybe preschool or kindergarten graduations, but those kind of small special events, I sort of anticipated some of that being there, but just a smaller market than photos. And I hope one day the more people get used to renting, that they will, it won't just be renting for photos. It'll just be renting for any special occasion.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a great idea. And like you said too, you know, with, I know you had that setback with Facebook, but the more you have those happy customers who love your service and what you're doing, the more those moms are going to spread the word to other moms. So, you know, I think it'll continue to snowball for you. I know, like, moms love to share insider tips. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, I found this great thing here. I found this great product there. So,
yeah, I have seen a lot of that, of, you know, moms commenting on Facebook about, you know, or tagging their friends, like, this is the business I was telling you about, or, you know, that type of thing. So that makes me really happy. Sometimes, you know, when things get damaged and I have to send that email to someone, like, I'm really sorry, you know, this item became unavailable. It literally is like one of the, I hate doing that because I know they were counting on that particular style being available for them. And I will always, I've even gone so far as to order replacements at retail cost, because I would rather sort of bite the bullet now and have a happy customer that will spread the good word about my business versus having someone say, oh, I tried that, but it turns out I never, you know, I wasn't able to get the style I ordered, so I'm not going to try it again. You know, I think those types of things, even though I might lose a little bit of money now, like, will pay off in the long run.
Absolutely. I'm sure you're absolutely right about that. A happy customer is going to tell the world about what you're doing, but an unhappy customer could be a big detriment if they actually started running their mouth about something.
Definitely.
So you do have multiples of each item normally on hand, but if they're all booked out and all scheduled to be rented, then if one comes back damaged, then you're still missing a piece of the puzzle, so to speak, to ship out to somebody else.
Right. And I don't have multiples of everything because, okay, you know, some of these aren't, well, for one, aren't available to get multiples because they're so hard to find. And the other thing is when you order, you know, in the spring for the fall and holiday lines. And so you're ordering so far in advance that you know, you don't really know what's going to be popular necessarily. And sometimes my taste has been way off. You know, my favorite pieces were, you know, not popular or vice versa. And so a lot of times I will just order one of each size. And then if something turns out to be particularly popular, or I get feedback from people of everybody's loving a particular style, then I will reorder multiples if they're available. But, you know, like when you're starting out, there is so much money that's invested in inventory in the beginning. It's difficult sometimes to predict what's going to be popular.
Definitely. I know we chatted a bit via email and you were talking about the situation, the very difficult situation where a customer doesn't send their item back. And I liked that you seem to have an extra tool in your tool belt, so to speak, for dealing with that. So I'd love for you to share about that experience with everyone.
Yes, I'm lucky because it's only happened a handful of times. I mean, I literally think three times I haven't had, well, I'm dealing with the third right now, so technically two times before that where I haven't had something returned. And my husband happens to be an attorney, so it's very easy for me to kind of start the legal process if needed without having to spend extra money hiring an attorney or filing whatever may be needed. So the two times that I've had things not returned, I've been able to recover because after multiple emails or calls from me don't get responded, my husband sends a letter and he knows the law as to what can be done. And he actually wrote my terms and conditions for my website. And so I'm very lucky in that sense because otherwise I don't know how easy it would be to try to recover these things without hiring somebody else to handle it for me. So it's been very helpful in a lot of, you know, getting started with the terms and that type of thing, but also recovering the things I needed to.
Definitely. So when he has sent that letter in the past, those two times, then did those items magically appear pretty quickly?
Yes, what basically happens is all of a sudden my emails that haven't been responded to forever, that type of thing, all of a sudden I get a response that says, you know, some sort of excuse really of why they weren't returned and that they'll be returned the next day or whatnot. And so, the first time it happened, they did just magically appear and it was, you know, we weren't sure what was going to happen. So that was good news. It was a relief. Both of them were pretty early on when I started the company. And so it was kind of like, oh man, not already. Mm-hmm. I mean, but most things you kind of anticipate that's going to happen at some point. You know, it's just, both of them were both pretty early on. And so I thought, gosh, I really hope this is not going to be a problem long term. I do have, you know, when you do rent through the website though, I do have the ability to go back and charge the original payment method. And if that doesn't work out, you know, then I can pursue legal action. But luckily, I really haven't had to do that quite yet. Hopefully, knock on wood, I won't.
That's a shame, though, that you have to almost anticipate that happening or that it's happened already a couple of times in less than a year that you've had your doors open. I don't know. I hate it when people disappoint me so much like that. That would just be heartbreaking in a way to have people treat you so poorly.
It is, and you start to be kind of skeptical of orders that come in and just seem a little off. You know, the products are, there's a lot of products and they don't really seem to match up together. You start to think, what's that all about? Like, is this another scammer? And it is kind of sad because it would be so much easier, you know, not to have to worry about that stuff.
I just think it's worked out so well. The fact that your husband is an attorney, it's just like, you know, there's just things like that, that it's kind of like your secret weapon for your business. I think we all kind of have a secret weapon in one way or another. And it's just, it's nice that that's yours. And it is a shame that you have to use him on occasion, but
yeah, it is helpful for sure. Because otherwise, you know, I'd be a little bit lost and you can quickly spend a lot of money on all these extraneous expenses that you don't really anticipate.
Well, Erica, thank you so much for talking with us today. We've learned a lot. I think your business model is just brilliant. As we wrap up, do you have either a funny or adorable mom moment that you could share with us?
I probably have a lot of them, but probably the funniest thing about and most ironic thing about starting this business is my daughter, who is very, she's been with me since she was born and wasn't in school really until she was three. There was a little bit of a resentment when I started this business. And even though I gave her most of my attention when she was here and not sleeping and that type of a thing, people think all the time that we must just be in the inventory rooms, dressing up, trying on clothes left and right. And that it is entirely the opposite. I have to pay my daughter to try on pretty dresses. Like I I call it, she's my working model. And so I never ask her to try on anything. I never give her my opinion as to what might be cute or what I like or don't like, because lo and behold, if I say I like something, she will say she doesn't like it. And so I pay her $1 for every dress that she will try on for me or model, so that I can see how it fits and be able to tell customers it's running big or it's running small or that type of thing. And so it's kind of funny because people think like Rainey is just in heaven in this beautiful closet full of clothes, and it's entirely the opposite. So sometimes when she wants to make money, like she'll try on 5 dresses for me, and that's pretty much all I get out of her. But yeah, it's sad. I have to bribe her to try on 2 dresses, but that's, I don't know if it's the resentment factor, or I think she's pretty much over that, but I don't know. It's pretty, she'd rather have the polyester Elsa dress from Target, I think.
How old is Rainey now?
She just turned 4.
Okay. Sounds like she's got a little bit of a stubborn streak too, maybe.
She definitely does. She's always been very strong-willed and sure of herself. And so
it's, that's good.
It is. I think it'll serve her well later in life. But, you know, at this age, there's a lot of power struggling and that type of thing. But I'm glad she has her kind of own sense of style and that type of thing. But it is kind of funny that I have to pay my own daughter to try on clothes. But.
Well, she's leveraged that strong will into an income at 4 years old. So clearly, I think she's going to use that strong will to have her own business someday.
Let's hope so. She can buy her own toys with her earnings.
Erica, could you tell our listeners one more time where they can find you online if they're interested in renting or they just want to check out your business?
Okay, sure. It's www.raineycloset.com, and Rainey is spelled R-A-I-N-E-Y. And we are also on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest as Rainey's Closet. I forgot to mention Pinterest earlier, but we have a lot of boards with some great inspiration for styling and combinations that might go together. So that's a great place to check out different ideas too.
Great. Thank you so much, Erica. It's been great chatting with you today.
You too. Thank you so much for having me on.
For the show notes, head to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/110. I love how creative moms are about all of the different businesses that they start. They have a problem of their own, they recognize a need, and they see an opportunity to start a business and solve that very same problem that other moms or other women are probably having too. It's a fantastic business model, a fantastic way to start a business. Do you have a friend who might also enjoy hearing these inspiring stories of other moms and women who are starting businesses on their own, who are solving a problem? If you have a friend who maybe wants to start a business, she'd like to make a little side income working from home, would you mind maybe telling her about our podcast? Maybe she's a mom who isn't sure what she wants to do, what sort of business she wants to start, but maybe by hearing several stories of other women and what they're doing or how they decided to solve a problem, maybe that would spark an idea for her. And she would have an idea of what she could do at home to earn a little extra income for her family. Or maybe you have a friend who has started a business. She has the idea, she has the groundwork, but she's struggling with what to do next or how to manage her time. She's struggling with juggling her home life and her new business. And so many women are doing so many different things. I find it so helpful to hear all of the different strategies that are working for different people, because different strategies work for different businesses. And there's always new tools coming out on the market, new ways of doing things. So hearing from others who are trying something new, I personally find it very helpful. So if you wouldn't mind, if you have a friend that has already started a business or a friend who really wants to start a business, would you mind telling them about our podcast? You can send them to iTunes, or you could share one of our episodes from our Facebook page, or you could even forward them one of our weekly emails. Maybe you could send them a link to the show notes of an episode that you found particularly helpful. I'm sure you know someone who could benefit from hearing the stories that these women are willing to share with us. So thank you so much. If you decide to share the Brilliant Business Moms podcast with a friend, we would really appreciate it. I hope you're having a great day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.